AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome back to Routes Through Pokemon. After venturing through a long journey in the Orange Islands, we are now here with Season 2 as we tackle the games Gold and Silver and Crystal. I'm your host, Sage Trainer Shaylock.
And I'm Bird Keeper Trainer Ruby.
And together we are a father-daughter team venturing through the mainline series of Pokemon, as well as tackling the anime and manga, which are in their own separate episodes generally. And this week, we have finally started the Johto journey.
But before we get started, let's catch up on how things have been going. We were going to record a little earlier, but there was a mishap with some sick kiddos that made me drive out to go get them from their different camps. And so I spent a little over 12 hours on the road. Well, it was a couple hours extra for taking naps. So that was exciting. But we're recording now. And we just got through some really fun Pokemon Go stuff. There was all the stuff with the Ultra Beast quest and everything. That was a lot of fun. And getting Marshadow, I got that. I got two shiny Necrozmas. I chose the path for getting the lunar energy or whatever it is to fuse Necrozma with the lunar one. I don't remember what it's called. But I do have my Solgaleo now too, so I can do that. And I did fuse a shiny Necrozma with it so I could have the shiny lunar guy. And I'll probably do the same with the other one. So that's been fun. I'm sure you have no idea what that's all about, Ruby. But apparently fusing Pokemon is something that they introduced, and I'm guessing in Sun and Moon, which is where the Ultra Beasts come from.
Is Sun and Moon the third one?
No, Sun and Moon is 7. That's the Alola region. So we're not going to be there for a while. But it was just really fun filling out my Pokedex with a lot of these Ultra Beasts that I didn't have yet with some of the raids. Also got a few other shiny Pokemon, which was nice. Not as many as some, but that's okay. Finally filled out my Johto deck, so I'm moving along with my shiny Celebi path, like the quest or whatever, the special research. So once I finish that, I can get it. But I think I'm the stage now where I need 5 raids or something. I might be the same one. I don't remember. Or maybe that's still the Necrozma one. I don't know. I got some stuff to do. And then we have some steel research coming up soon, I think. But we're also going to have a very busy week as a family. We have VBS coming up with our church, so we'll be doing that. And then my wife is going to a wedding, and she's taking a few of the kids. So it'll just be me and the older bunch at home until a bunch of them get to go back to camp now that they're all recovered.
And I get to go to a second VBS.
Yeah, you're helping out a different organization with some VBS at a different church, and so it'll just be me and only 2 kiddos at home. That'll be interesting. It'll be very quiet, but I know those 2 kiddos are looking forward to just time with me for a while, which will be fun. Is there anything else? We're way behind on Horizons because of everything with the busyness of our schedule. There was summer school, and
we watched one during summer school.
Well, yeah, we watched a little bit during summer school, but but then there was other complications during June, and then we had a lot of stuff going on right before packing up to go to a family camp, and then we had family camp, and then we got home in time to celebrate a couple birthdays, then we went camping to celebrate one of those birthdays, and got home from that, and then sent everybody off to camp, which I then picked them up from. So it's been a very busy summer so far. I'm looking forward to the quiet week after VBS week. I think we played a little more Scarlet and Violet. Got a little further than we were last time, I think.
Yeah, probably.
And definitely did some more Sword and Shield, but I'll wait till Rosella's back to chat about that one. So, I think with all that, we will move on to covering our leg to the first gym battle in the Johto region.
And it, right off the bat, we were super stoked because all the color was so awesome. Because, like, I the color was so nice. I played yellow, which was advanced for the color, but it was still red and blue. And the only thing they did with the color in that was just give us, a base color for every area. So everything turned that color. So even the Pokeballs were, like, changed with the color of the towns that you went to. Everything just got kind of one shade. Whereas this, it's actually color. Like, everything has their own little things. And finding the Pokemon and them being all colored is awesome. And they even have movement a little bit, which is cool. Like, the Rattata's wiggly butt and stuff. And on top of it, we saw that gold and silver, like, the Pokemon look different. Like, I mean, they look the same, but, like, they're in different positions when they show up as wild Pokemon, depending on which game you're playing.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
And it's the first game where, at the very beginning, it asks you what time of day it was and if it was day or night.
Right, because this game, they introduced a time mechanic with day and night. So that's also really exciting. So there's just a whole bunch of new stuff being flooded at us. And on top of that, like, the new Pokedex is super nice. Because it has a search function.
Yes.
And even, like, using the PC is so much better, because when you look in the box, it shows a picture of the Pokemon, so when we nickname them, we can actually see what it was.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
It's so nice. So many quality of your life improvements already, just from one gen to the other, still on a Game Boy.
I was so confused, though, when I was changing my Pokemon in the Pokedex. I was depositing one, and I'm like, why do I only have 5 Pokemon in my party? And And the other one's not even in the withdraw box. What is going on? You have to push down a little bit more.
Yeah, you realize you had to scroll down. And it's funny that we're so excited over this after we've already played some Scarlet and Violet, obviously. We've talked about that. And I've already beaten the Sword and Shield games, or like the main story of it at least, with another of my daughters.
Not waiting to play until it's you and me.
Well, she really wanted to play with me, so, and I'll just play the opposite one. And, like, we still have a lot to explore. Plus, there's downloadable content, which adds a couple more stuff to the overall story of the game. Like, there's more to explore and do. But I haven't bought that yet, or I hadn't when we were playing it.
And so, not until we
play
it?
Probably. I haven't really decided. Because me and Rosella still have to catch what Pokemon we can that are there, because we're still missing a bunch.
I suppose.
Because we're playing a lot more just casually. Like, we catch what we see, because there's a ton of Pokemon everywhere, and we just keep plowing through. And we managed to beat everything, and it was awesome. But yeah, so having played, like, those Switch games, to be super excited over just the next gen of Game Boy games is just really funny to me that we're this excited over it. So, right from the get-go, we do find that, once again, there is still no choice between boy and girl.
That's a little late.
So you're still a boy.
I still name myself Lily.
The really sad part for you, since I'm also doing Crystal, is that Crystal is the first game to introduce that choice.
The third game, you mean? Like...
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, I didn't know when we started, and I went to go catch up in Crystal, and I'm like,
seriously?
Oh, that's the first time we get a choice. Interesting.
Maybe you shouldn't have said that.
Anyway, so starting off, you know, we had to name our characters again, and this time I wasn't just going to go with, like, gold, silver like we did red and blue last time. So I know for me, I decided to keep it on theme with the color of the last one, which was blue for me, so my new character is Azure, which is also a blue.
I just named myself Lily, because to prove that I don't care if I'm a girl or a boy, I'm a girl.
And then, so starting off, we're in our rooms again, just like last time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we go downstairs and see our mom, just like last time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Although right here is the first difference I noticed with Crystal. You still go downstairs and see your mom, but there's also another person there. And I don't even know if there's a name. The person just talks as well. And I'm not sure who they are or why they're there. It was just interesting that there was another individual to talk to.
Was that person in my cave too?
No, just in Crystal. It's not in gold or silver, but it's in crystal. Oh, yeah.
I keep getting confused about crystal, gold, yeah. Silver. They're all one big mush.
Yeah. Yeah, you're playing gold. Sorry, we should just establish that. Ruby is playing through gold this time, and I'm playing silver this time, which once again has given us the same bug Pokemon from Red and Blue, because in your game you were able to find Caterpies, and I found Weedles, just like in your game of Red, it was Caterpies, and mine was Weedles there, too.
Really?
Pretty sure.
Huh.
Pretty sure it's the same. So once again, I'm playing... yeah, we're just playing the same one of those. But, so then starting off, we were supposed to see Professor
Elm,
not Oak. But we do know that Professor Oak exists in the world because we hear about him a couple times.
Exists the world. Which must mean Red and Blue are still alive.
Right. But yeah, that's the first indication that they're still connected, obviously. Just in a different region now, Johto. And what was the town we started in? New Bark Town or something like that?
I do not
remember. I think so. Basically, all the cities in this one, instead of just being color-coded like in Red and Blue, starting with a palette and then moving on to actual colors. New Bark. Bark is on a tree, right? And then we go to Cherry Grove City, was the first city we make it to. And then we go to Violet Town, and Violet is a flower. So it's all a bunch of plants, which makes it perfect for your name to be Lily in this story. Oh.
I knew that.
And I should, so in Crystal, I also decided to continue the theme, so I had Ash in yellow. So this one, it's Dusty, as in, like, dust and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Ash,
yeah,
Dusty. Yeah, yeah. And Ash is a color, and Dusty is, like, a color
idea. Because obviously you chose the boy character, not the girl.
Yeah, I did. I should have gone with the girl just to do so. But that, I think I was debating whether I should have the girl see if what's different there, or do the boy so that it's just more strict comparison between our games in that one. And I think that's why I ended up going with the boy.
And it's because that's your gender.
Well, I don't really care that much about that. I mean, I will choose the boy as we're going, because you will choose the girl once we have those options. Yeah. Which we will have in the next game. Since,
wait, really?
Well, if Crystal's the first one to introduce it, it was came out before... So, like, Gold and Silver came out, then a little bit later, Crystal comes out, and then later they come out with the new games.
Yes.
So when we move to the Game Boy Advance games, you will have a choice of gender.
And I will be a girl.
Good. So yeah, then we visit. So is that when we first get, do we get our Pokemon right away again? Just like before?
We have to go to Elm's lab first, right?
Which is still in the same town, right?
I thought we had to travel somewhere.
I thought we had to get the Pokemon first so we had protection as we went through. We just couldn't catch Pokemon again, just like before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we go to Elm's lab area. He gives us our choices, and so we chose our starter Pokemon. And so last time, I only chose Charmander because I was pretty sure I'd used Bulbasaur through the game before, and you chose Squirtle. I don't generally like the fire Pokemon. That's not what I want. So this time, I chose... Chikorita, the grass type.
And I chose Cyndaquil.
I later learned that once... Oh, right, sorry.
I chose Totodile, and my dad doesn't even know that I chose Totodile.
I wasn't listening. I thought you were just giving the correct answer.
Nope. Saying the wrong one. Yeah, sorry.
So, but once again, I screwed myself over. Because, like, Charmander I chose because he was supposed to be, partly because he was supposed to be, like, the hardest choice, too, right?
Yeah.
And it's because he's not well-matched against the first two gyms at all.
Nope.
And this time, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll just choose a grass type, not realizing that my grass type is also going to be weak against the first gym in this game. Because it turns out to be a flying gym, right?
Well, at least for the tower later on. You can choose water type.
Right. So, anyway, so we do... So we get our choice, and when we go to the lab, there's some mysterious redheaded individual...
Oh, yeah.
...peeking through the window. And they smack us back, because they're mad at us for spying on them or talking to them. They're like, get away from me.
Oh, yeah, they were behind the lab, and we walked over there, and they just, like, kicked us to the curb. And I was like... How rude, I'm talking to you again. I think I did that a couple times.
Yeah. So then we, of course, we explored the town and stuff. We learned about, like, the radio program where they talk about Professor Oak, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so eventually we leave because we're supposed to go visit some other place up on Route 30. So we go, left.
Well, I remember that, but I'm trying to figure out what we were supposed to be doing.
I don't remember what we needed to do there at all.
Were we talking to someone? I thought we were carrying a package.
Were we carrying a package? We might have been bringing a package.
I thought so.
Instead of having to return a package like last time.
I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure.
Because in Red and Blue, we had to go get a package and bring it back to Professor Oak.
But I don't think we had to go get a package for the Professor Elm.
Okay. Because we ended up going back to Professor Elm for some reason.
We did?
Yeah.
I hardly remember the beginning of the game, so it's all up to you.
Well, okay, so like what I remember is after, so we go left for a long while through a route, and we have to kind of go around about some things to get there.
Okay.
And then there was a north route we could have gone through, or some north direction we could have gone to. There was, like, some stuff going that way, but we didn't explore that.
Yeah.
And so then we continued going to the left of the screen, and we eventually made it to Cherry Grove City, or whatever, which is where the first Poke Center is, the first, Pokemart is.
Didn't we explore up north before we did that? No, wait.
No, we didn't. We didn't explore it.
What city is the gym in?
Violet.
Okay.
Which is eventually north and left.
Now I remember.
But if we could just go left for a long time, we're at that Cherry Grove place, which has the first Pokemart and the first Poke Center. And
they were out of Pokeballs.
Yeah, they were out of Pokeballs, so we still couldn't buy them yet, so we couldn't do Pokeballs yet. So then, after doing stuff there, we're supposed to go north, and then there's a fork up there. So, like, there's two different ways to go, and if you go left of the fork, there's some trainer battle going, so you can't get through there. Because some youngsters are battling. So then you go the other way, and you get to that lone house that's by itself. That lone building, like a cabin or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And in there, we meet up with Professor Oak. Because I think we were either bringing a package to the person he was talking to, or what, but we meet Professor Oak there.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the one who gives us Pokedexes. I think so.
I don't want to say he did anything. He just kind of talked to us and left.
He definitely talked to us. And then we're supposed to go back because, like, if we didn't go back, we wouldn't run into this problem. Because when we start going back, we go all the way back to Cherry Grove, which is down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go right, which, well, we're going to Cherry Grove, and we're going to go leave to the right, and we're stopped.
Leave to the right? Which way are we facing? Is our character facing down when we leave to the right, or is our character facing up?
To the right when you're looking at the screen. This is why I used east and west for you, because...
Okay.
Because you're all like, just say left or right!
It's easier and faster.
It's not, because now you're wondering what I mean, because it depends on which way your character is facing in your head now.
When we're talking about it now, but when we're just playing, usually it's easier.
So anyway, we go back east to go back to the route to get to New Bark Town, which is where Professor Elm's lab is, but we don't get to leave right away because the red-headed opponent that was sneaking around Professor Elm's lab shows up and challenges us or fights us or whatever.
Yep.
And he has whatever Pokemon is strong to the Pokemon we took.
So for me, he would have Chikorita?
Yes.
And for you, he would have Cyndaquil?
Yes.
So in Silver, did you choose Cyndaquil?
No, in Crystal, I chose Cyndaquil.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So we would have all three Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet up with the rival, and this is a chance to name the rival, too. And this is our rival, like Gary was our rival before, or whatever, Red, Blue, whatever.
Yep.
And now I'm drawing a blank at what I named my rival. It was definitely... It has something to do with the color red. because my rival was red before. So I went with Azure because of blue, right?
Yep.
And then, so I went with a red color, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I even just went with the Japanese word for red, like Aka or something. I don't remember for sure. And you also named your rival, and you had come up with something that wouldn't fit. And I'm like, well, just use VFT, because it sounds cooler. Anyway. And so you did, but unfortunately, that means we don't remember what it was that you had come up with.
I feel like you called it something, and I'm like, what do you think of this?
Oh, maybe. And like, our best guess at the moment is, like, very foolish trainer or something like that.
I'm pretty sure that's not what I went off of, but sadly, that's what I have to go off of now.
So if we ever do remember, we'll let you know, but we can't quite recall. So, yeah, your arrival's VFT. Mine, I can't even remember the name for whatever reason at the moment, unfortunately.
You're very foolish trainer.
Yeah, I guess. But we won, and then we head back to New Barktown and do whatever we're supposed to do there. I don't even remember. We talk to our mom again, I think, too. Oh, and in this, we also get Poke Gear. We have this Poke Gear tab now.
Oh, yeah!
So we have the watch to tell us what time it is, and there's supposed to be new features added as we go or something like that. We also have the town map in there, which is handy.
Yes, Thursday, 3:20 p.m., I'm in Violet City. Oh, and our phone. We have a phone. We can call people.
Yeah, we have a phone. We can call people, but we keep getting phone calls.
Yeah, I have Mom's number, Professor Elm's number, Joey Youngster's number, Wade Bugcatcher number. Some trainers gave us numbers, so.
Yep. Because they like to call us about stuff and sometimes challenge us to a battle again if we go back to see them.
Yeah, that's never happened to me yet.
It has happened to me in Crystal more than once with Joey. And Wade has had berries for me.
Seriously?
Yep.
Lucky blue.
And Wade also gave me a hot tip that there's a rare Pokemon that can pop up in the, I believe in the roots that he's at, of a Hoppip. So now I kind of, for Crystal at least. And so now I want to try to find a Hoppip over there in Crystal.
I should call my mom and see what she says.
So yeah, we're a little sketchy on remembering exactly what brought us to the place to talk to Professor Oak and then back to Professor Elm. But after all of that, we're able to go and buy Pokeballs. And maybe we got Pokeballs at this point, too.
We got some Pokeballs, I remember.
From, like, Professor Elm or something, or Oak.
Somewhere, somebody.
So we started catching Pokemon, anyway.
I think all we got at the moment was a Hoot Hoot at that time exactly, because we started playing at night, and... Well, there's Hoot Hoots at night.
Yes.
Different Pokemon during the day, but Hoot Hoots at night.
A lot of Hoot Hoot at night. And I do like that now there's this whole new angle that we have when we're exploring grass. If we don't find certain Pokemon, there still might be other Pokemon there that only show up at night, which is cool, or day. So anyway, yeah, we started catching Pokemon, and of course we started trading them so we could level them faster like we did before, despite knowing that it's going to take a bit before they can only get to a certain level and then they won't listen to us for a while.
Oh, yeah.
That
level's 10.
Yes. Until we get the second badge.
Yep.
And then it'll go up to, like, 30. But anyway, so we're traveling along. We go back to Cherry Grove and catch, like, a Hoot Hoot and a Rattata, I believe you had right away. It took me a little longer to get one, I think.
Yeah, I'm special.
And then when we're going north, that's where Joey was having that battle, so we were able to battle him and the other trainer and another trainer later on. But we're able to.
And I think you have to talk to the trainer after you finish battling him to get their number.
Yeah, that might be true. Oh, and I forgot to mention that we also started running into different shaped trees. Like, there's a lot of those trees that you have to cut that we know that you need to use cut on, but which we don't have yet.
Yep.
There was a lot of them, actually. Some of them just for shortcuts, but there's a lot of them.
I don't remember there being a lot, but I will take your word for it.
Well, I've been going back up and down through those areas. Through, like, so between the two first towns and also the second and third town, there's a lot. And even around after that. Anyway, but there's other trees that look different. That you click on them, you get a berry out of them. And then they respawn a berry, I think, after a while or something. Maybe not, though. I don't remember.
Well, I don't know if you've ever gotten that for a second berry, but I have. Because...
And succeeded?
Yep.
Okay.
And the reason I did is when we turned our things back on after not playing for a little bit, I was lost. So I'm like, ooh, a tree.
Yeah.
I get lost a lot.
Yeah, Ruby is terrible with directions.
That's why I want you to do left and right.
Except that I do that, and then you get confused.
But I'm not confused at the moment, because I'm looking at it.
Good for you.
Like this. See?
So anyway, we buy more Pokeballs, because we want to catch more Pokemon, and we find some Bellsprouts, and we trade those. Yeah, you love Bellsprout. We found the Weedles and Caterpies. Hoot Hoots, Rattatas, Pidgeys. So anyway, when we're going towards Violet Town, when we go up to the highest we can go upwards, north, right? There's a cave there, but it's called Dark Cave, and it's called Dark Cave because it's pitch black.
No.
So we can't see a thing in there. I went in there just briefly, but then I left. And so we need Flash, right? Just like we did in the Rock Tunnel, our favorite location in the other game.
I don't think that was my favorite.
It was a joke. We hated Rock Tunnel.
Oh, especially because I got lost 24/7 and you went, help me!
Well, there's also a lot of, like, Voltorbs or Electrodes that would just explode, which were annoying. From trainer battles.
I'm very upset.
And you couldn't find your Onix after you found it once and lost it.
How about we go back to Gold and Silver, yeah? Yeah?
Okay, back to Gold and Silver. Anyway, so... Then we continue to the west after the Dark Cave. We meet Wade as a trainer that we battle, and he gets our number. And so he's been calling us a lot, too. And we go...
They say the same thing sometimes.
Sometimes. And then... So then we end up in Violet Town, and we heal up and everything. But as we're exploring Violet Town, we found the gym, but we didn't want to go in right away because we wanted to explore. And we found the Sprout Tower.
Sprouty Tower.
But I don't think we went in it right away. I think we decided to explore elsewhere first.
I think I went in it. And you went in it.
Yeah, I think we just talked on the first level and then left.
I don't remember just talking on the first level. I remember going in and going to the top.
We eventually did, but I thought we explored like that other cave area and stuff.
I think, did we have our altars when we were exploring the other area?
No, but we wanted to get one because we realized we needed to get another Bellsprout.
No, I'm saying when we explored the caves, the other caves that you're talking about, did we have Onix?
I don't think so. I think...
Alright, never mind. Then we probably... I don't remember going and talking on the first level. Maybe you did that, but we did go to other caves
first. Okay. So yeah, we decided to explore more because we also wanted to get... We're just curious of what else was around these other paths here, around the town... But we also wanted to find another Bellsprout so that we could get an Onix. Since we also learned that we were going to go up against a flying gym.
Well, we didn't go find another Bellsprout right away. So we did the caves, then we went back to Sprout Tower. And we fought a few levels and we're like, hey, we should get our Onix so we can level it up. So we both went out to heal and then you're like, now let's stay out. And you're the one who's like, now we can go get our Bellsprout. And we got our Bellsprout.
That's right.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
But I was kind of hoping we'd find one when we were wandering around before that.
Find what?
At Bellsprout before that. Like, I was hoping we would run into one while we were just kind of exploring. But then we didn't, so then we went to Sprout Tower.
Oh, and Sprout Tower has a... It's built around a 100-foot statue of a Bellsprout. And... All the trainers use in there are Bellsprouts. And I was so mad when I saw that at first. But guess what? The little weedy Bellsprouts don't know rap.
We're not on Sprout Tower right now.
Too bad. I'm talking about it.
So anyway, we decided to explore the paths. And we, as we were looking around, we found... Well, this was a little bit later, but we found that we couldn't go too far south on those paths because that guy wouldn't let us go. He was like, hey, you should fight a gym first. So it's probably the next place we have to go. But then we also found the ruins of Alph. Or Alph. Alph. The ruins of Alph. A-L-P-H.
Alph. A bet.
Yes, exactly. Because that's where all the unknown are, which make up some mysterious alphabet.
Well, we don't have any unknown. We don't even know that they're.
Well, silver and gold don't. Crystal does.
I'm gonna go to the ruins of Ralph right now.
Ralph?
Sure.
Is there a bunch of puke there? What?
Oh, it's so bright.
Yeah, it is.
The cave, it's so bright during the day.
Anyway. So we went there, and like I figured out the clue. I'm like, oh, obviously it's a Kabuto. So then we're trying to put the puzzle together, and I was sure I had it right. And Ruby was sure she had it right, but it wasn't working. Like, it didn't do anything new, so we left eventually after talking to everybody we could. And then I went with Crystal and like, you know what? I had to try a couple things. And basically all I had to do was switch the two bottom tiles that looked like they were right, and then it was right.
Where are the ruins of Al? Another funny story. We were either at Bellsprout Tower or at the gym. I got lost on the way to the Pokemon Center in the same town. Remember that? That
lovely day. I do remember that.
Because, I mean, if I was in the gym, all I have to do is go right, down, right, and there's the Pokemon Center. And if I'm at Bellsprout Tower, just down, right, and then you're at the Pokemon Center.
So anyway, we did what we thought we could at the ruins, and eventually finished up the loop of the routes there, and went back to Violet Town, decided to explore Sprout Tower for a bit, ran into a Ghastly right away, and then killed it right away, unfortunately, because my one hit that could do something was too strong for it.
I don't have anything that can do anything, unless you want to count my Weedle, but he dies, like, as soon as I put him out there.
Until, well, we'll get to that later. So we went up for a bit, and then we would go back down and heal on occasion, especially Ruby, since the Bellsprouts were kind of a pain in the butt on occasion with their Vine Whips towards some of your Pokemon.
Not really. You're the one who healed the most.
Oh, okay.
I think.
And then we decided to go get another Bellsprout so we get Onyx so we could, like, level him up in the tower while we're going through it. And then we met our rival up there, who was a punk, and even the main sage guy, the elder or whatever, is like, yeah, you need to treat your Pokemon better. but they dismissed it.
We didn't have to fight him.
No, that surprised me, actually. I was kind of expecting to have to battle the rival. And so then we went up there, we battled, won, came back down, and I had gotten my Onyx to level 10. I had a couple other Pokemon at, like, level 10. And my Chikorita was higher than that. But, of course, Chikorita is going to be weak against grass or flying attacks.
Yeah.
And we did eventually catch Ghastlies while we were in there.
So he had battled out his Ghastly and catch it. Me, I run into another Ghastly and I can't do any damage. I just sit there and I'm like, I'm gonna catch this Ghastly. I throw one Pokeball, he breaks out. I throw another Pokeball, he stays.
Ruby's luck continues, just like with the stupid Moltres, Zapdos, garbage. Like, she's always super lucky with her catches.
Watch me with the dogs.
I'm going to be so annoyed with the dogs. Anyway, yes, I do know that there are legendary dogs in this one. I know a lot less about this game, that is for sure. But I do know about the legendary dogs and a bit about how they move. So anyway, we got Ghastlies, we wrapped up Sprout Tower, and we decided to take some Pokemon into the Flying Gym. And I, like, so I'll bring Onyx for sure. Not use him too much because I don't want him to hit level 11 before the final fight.
Did you say we're going to the gym now?
Yeah, why?
So at the top of Sprout Tower, we got lights, and he said we
can't. Oh, right.
So we had to fight the Elder, and then we get the Pokeball that has light in it.
It's Flash.
Flash, yeah. And then, after the fight, he tells us we can't use it without the Violet City Badge or whatever.
Right, I was thinking, because we did know that we were going to get Flash at Sprout Tower. So I'm like, sweet, so we can explore the Dark Cave before we even do the gym. And we get Flash, but then he's like, but you can't use it outside of battle until you get the badge. And I'm like, dang it. So we're going to go do, because I was looking forward to looking at the cave first.
Yep, but we can't do that without recording first.
Yes. So, yeah, we got Flash. Haven't taught it to anybody yet. And we tackle the Flying Gym. And
destroy it.
Definitely having a little bit of tough times at some of it, especially with Chikorita being weak to flying attacks. Granted, there's a lot of tackling going on, so. But after the first trainer, I decided, okay, I need my Onix because my Pokemon are getting beat up pretty bad. Peck really did not like that move from the Spearow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we get through both trainers, and I definitely go heal again. And so then I'm all ready with my Onix for these stupid birds in the final match. And what did we find with the final match with the Pidgey and Pidgeotto that this bird gym leader had?
On your Onix, he uses Mudslide. On any other Pokemon, he uses a bird move.
So yeah,
they
he
made
was
him smart.
The Mudslap. Mudslap kept smacking my Onix, and it's a ground move, and ground Pokemon are weak against ground moves, so I'm getting pummeled and blinded at the same time, so I'm missing half the time. But I did manage to get somewhere, and I used a potion to help me get through some of this.
I didn't have to use
and
a potion.
So then on the Pidgeotto, I'm like, alright, well, my Onix has been blinded and beat up pretty bad, so, and I'm betting Mudslaps are coming, so I'm going to swap out, and sure enough, this Pidgeotto is using Gust, and I'm like, oh, Gust, okay, well, fine, I'll just switch back out for Onix, because Gust, that doesn't bother me. And he used Gust the first time I switched out, because that's what he was planning to use, and then he immediately went back to Mudslap, and so I was actually quite surprised to find that at least the gym trainers, maybe it's all, for all maybe it's even all trainer battles, I don't know, but wild Pokemon, they just do stupid things, but at least the gym leader actually does something based off of your decisions and does aim for, like, type advantage, and I was quite surprised. It was exciting, but also very frustrating because I was like, I'm not in a really good position here.
I've been wandering around the town looking for the ruins of Alf, and now it's the bug catcher's calling me.
Anyway. Oh, bug catcher. He was a bug catcher. So we did run into bug catcher, too. Yeah, Wade is a bug catcher. I forgot. We ran into a bug catcher. So yeah, we had youngsters, bug catchers, the rival, sages, bird keepers. I think that's it. So far as trainers go. But yeah, but I did pull out a victory in the end there.
Me too.
And he gives us a TM, just like the other gym leaders did in the other game.
And I was pretty sure I knew what it was going to be.
It was exactly what we thought it was going to be. Because it's like, how do these Pidgeys know Mudslap? My Pidgey didn't know Mudslap. My Pidgey was at level 10.
Well, you also did have a Pidgeotto, and they had a Pidgeotto.
Yeah, at level 9, which was annoying too, but that's a whole different thing. And also knew Gust, which I also don't know yet with my Pidgey.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. He must have had a very specific training regimen, or use TMs even to teach Gust and stuff. But still, why was he a Pidgeotto already? It's not like you use a stone to evolve a Pidgey.
Maybe he did. Maybe he caught a Pidgey. Who knows?
Oh, caught a low-level Pidgeotto? You mean? That could be. I could see that. Because wild Pokemon don't necessarily follow level stuff, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. But we got Mudslap, just to be
very
clear.
Yeah, so we got Mudslap. Which I was, again, yeah, wasn't too surprised about. So, I'm not even sure what our next Pokemon gym will look like. Oh, a couple fun things that we found. Well, like little Easter eggs, I guess, in Violet Town. So, first thing in Violet Town, in the Pokemon Center, we talked to a guy that said 3 years ago, some kid disrupted Team Rocket, causing them to fall apart. Which means that Red and Blue stuff took and Yellow took place 3 years ago. So we have some timeline of events here, which is exciting, right? We get to hear a little bit about our old game. And, of course, we all know it was Blue, because I played Blue and won and everything and disrupted Team Rocket, so.
Excuse me! I'm gonna quit now.
So that was cool. But then the other thing I thought was really fun is when we went inside the academy in Violet Town, the Pokemon Academy thing, to teach us how to think about poison and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Those first two people inside the building were wearing the colors red and green, which were the original Pokemon games, right? Red and green.
Mm-hmm.
Not red and blue, which they were in America.
The next two were red and blue.
Hmm?
But the next two people were red and blue.
Yeah, there were some people wearing red and blue in there.
But they weren't next, cool. Right
yeah,
next to
each but, like, having the two people right there, right off the bat, red and green, I thought that was pretty cool. I'm sure that was done on purpose. I feel like it was, at least.
Well, When we walked inside the gym, though, as well, the Pokemon people that we had to fight, it was kind of cool because the thing was in the shape of a money symbol.
Oh, yeah, that was really weird. I don't know why it was a money symbol, but yeah, it had, like, the S for the money symbol with the, like, line on top and the line on bottom to show, like, cash or whatever.
Yeah.
So, that was interesting, but really fun. All right, so now we should get into our Pokedex. Who's that Pokemon?
Just a minute. I didn't talk to Wade yet.
Yeah, that's fine.
He says, Lily, it's me, Wade. Isn't it nice out? How are your Pokemon doing? My Caterpie's really energetic. It's a handful. Oh, yeah, I managed to beat a tough Metapod. I need to make my party stronger. See you later. Click. His Caterpie is hard to handle.
Oh, something else I noticed, because I know there's a Ledyba in, like, the routes we've gone through. Because you also got a Spinarak, which I don't have. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got two Spinaraks, so you have one for me. But I need to find the Ledyba. But Spinarak, well, the Spinarak we played during the night, and you found the Spinaraks. And so then I was trying to play today, during the day, to find Ledyba. And while I'm looking for Ledyba, when I'm running into, like, Caterpies and Weedles, most of them aren't Weedles or not Caterpies, but the Weedles. Instead of finding Weedles most of the time, I'm finding more Kakunas than Weedles. So apparently during the day, they show up as their evolved form, it seems.
Huh.
That, or they just got stronger because I'm stronger. I don't know.
Did we trade between silver yet?
Crystal?
Yeah.
We traded the starter Pokemons with crystals.
I don't remember doing.
Well, we wanted to do that in case, so we would have all the evolutions throughout the whole thing.
Did you do that by yourself?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because you have Cyndaquil in your thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we will only read the ones that we both have, because in this game, they all have different Pokemon entries. Pokedex entries, depending on the game.
Okay.
So, if only you have it, we won't read it this time until we all have all the Pokedex entries for it.
Okay.
I'll start since Chikorita's the first one, and that's my starter Pokemon. Well, I guess we're all reading them all. Because we have different entries.
Yeah, okay. You can still go first.
Okay.
Who's that Pokemon?
So, Chikorita. So mine says Chikorita, leaf. It's pleasantly aromatic leaf. Oh, it's Pokemon number 152, because in the National Pokedex, right? All the Pokemon.
Okay.
But it's the first one of Johto. So, its pleasantly aromatic leaves have the ability to check the humidity and temperature.
Mine says, a sweet aroma gently wafts from the leaf on its head. It is docile and loves to soak up the sun's rays.
In Crystal, it says, it loves to bask in the sunlight. It uses the leaf on its head to seek out warm places. Cyndaquil, Fire Mouse, number 155. In the Crystal, it says, the fire that spouts from its back burns hottest when it is angry. The flaring flames intimidate foes.
It is timid and always curls itself up in a ball. If attacked, it flares up its back for protection.
It usually stays hunched over. If it is angry or surprised, it shoots flames out of its back.
Totodile, Big Jaw, Pokemon 158. Its well-developed jaws are powerful and capable of crushing anything. Even its trainer must be careful.
It is small, but rough and tough. It won't hesitate to take a bite out of anything that moves. In Crystal, it says, this rough critter chomps at any moving object it sees. Turning your back on it is not recommended.
Pidgey, Tiny Bird, Pokemon 16. Oh yeah, because Pidgey's in the game. I was real confused. It usually hides in tall grass. Because it dislikes fighting, it protects itself by kicking up sand.
Common in grassy areas and forest, it is very docile and will chase off enemies by flapping up sand. In Crystal, it says, it rapidly flaps its wings in the grass, stirring up a dust cloud that drives insect prey out into the open. And I've only seen Pidgeotto and Spearow.
Me too.
All right. Hoot Hoot, Owl, number 163. It has a perfect sense of time. Whatever happens, it keeps rhythm by precisely tilting its head in time.
It always stands on one foot. It changes feet so fast the movement can rarely be seen.
In Crystal, it says it begins to hoot at the same time every day. Some trainers use them in place of clocks.
Rattata, rat. Pokemon 19. It eats anything wherever food is available. It will settle down and produce offspring continuously.
Yeah, sounds like a rat. Living wherever there is food available, it ceaselessly scavenges for edibles the entire day. In Crystal, it says, this Pokemon's impressive vitality allows it to live anywhere. It also multiplies very quickly.
Caterpie, worm, Pokemon 10. For protection, it releases a horrible stench from the antenna on its head to drive away enemies.
Its feet have suction cups designed to stick to any surface. It tenaciously climbs trees and forage. In Crystal, it says, it crawls into foliage where it camouflages itself among leaves that are the same color as its body. Metapod, cocoon, number 11. It prepares for evolution by hardening its shell as much as possible to protect its soft body.
Inside the shell, it is soft and weak as it prepares to evolve. It stays motionless in the shell.
In Crystal, it says, this is its pre-evolved form. At this stage, it can only harden, so it remains motionless to avoid attack. And then you have a Butterfree, but I do not, so we will skip that one this time around.
But I get to read Butterfree.
Okay. That means I get to read Eevee this time, whenever we get one.
Did I read it last time?
Yeah, and I'm like, that's not fair. And you're like, I didn't think it was fair because you got to read Butterfree when that happened. Okay. Anyway.
Weedle, hairy bug, number 13. Its poison stinger is very powerful. Its bright colored body is intended to warn off its enemies.
It attacks using a 2-inch poison barb on its head. It can usually be found under the leaves it eats. In Crystal, it says, the barb on top of its head secretes a strong poison. It uses this toxic barb to protect itself. Kakuna.
I don't have Kakuna.
Oh, never mind. We will skip
Kakuna. Wait, you don't have a Spinarak, do you?
I do not.
Okay, so we keep going down.
Ghastly is my next one.
I have a Ghastly.
Ghastly. Gas. Number 92. Its thin body is made of gas. It can envelop an opponent of any size and cause suffocation.
With its gas-like body, it can sneak into any place it desires. However, it can be blown away by wind. That's funny.
I got a Ghastly in Crystal, too, but you know where I found it? I mean, I found some in the tower as well, but you know where I've actually found it?
Where?
Just in the grass on Route 31, right before Violet Town, in the night, at night.
Okay.
In Crystal, it says, it wraps its opponent in its gas-like body, slowly weakening its prey by poisoning it through the skin.
Ghastly wrap around me.
Alright, we should both have Onyxes since yep. We...
Onyx, Rock Snake, number 95. It twists and squirms through the ground. The thunderous roar of its tunneling echoes a long way.
It rapidly bores through the ground at 50 miles per hour by squirming and twisting its massive, rugged body. In Crystal, it says, as it digs through the ground, it absorbs many hard objects. This is what makes its body so solid. And Bellsprout.
Look at the T on Bellsprout.
Huh?
It's kind of cool, the T on Bellsprout. There's little, like, vine things on it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think we all had some symbol up there. Oh, maybe not. Oh. Nope, I'm wrong. Alright, Bellsprout. Flower, number 69. It plants its feet deep underground to replenish water. It can't escape its enemy while it's rooted.
I hate Bellsprout.
We know.
But that's its Pokemon X entry. Spelt Bellsprout is the worst Pokemon
that's
ever.
That's not true.
Fine, even though its body is extremely skinny, it is blindingly fast when catching its prey.
In Crystal, it says, if it notices anything that moves, it immediately flings its vine at the object. Alright, and so what we've done for nicknames so far, I have nicknamed my Chikorita, who I know becomes...
Oh wait, I have to go back to Pokemon Center, do I?
Yeah, probably. I nicknamed my Chikorita, who I know becomes Bayleaf and Meganium or Meganium or however you say it. Leafy, but spelled with two E's.
I found the Pokemon Center!
Good job. So yeah, my Chikorita is Leafy, and he's a level 12.
My Totodile is Crox, level 11.
In Crystal, my Cyndaquil is named Cindy, level 14. Okay. My Caterpie and now Metapod is Flutter, level 9.
My Caterpie that's now a Butterfree is Beauty.
In Crystal, my Caterpie is named Kate, level 7. My Weedle, which is now a Kakuna, is QB for Queen Bean, or Queen Bean, Queen Bee.
My Weedle, which is still a Weedle, is named Pointer, level 6.
In Crystal, my Weedle is named Spike, level 4. My Rattata is Tattle, level 2.
My Rattata is Glutton, because the entry is they eat a lot. Level 4.
In Crystal, my Rattata is named Tat, level 7. My Ghastly is Spook, level 3.
My Ghastly is... Ah! Level 3.
Speaking of Ghastly, he was actually really helpful in Crystal now that I knew what was going on, and I leveled him up before I went into the gym, and he was level 10, or maybe level 9, but he became level 10 by the end of it. And I just kept using Hypnosis so that they couldn't do a lot of moves to me, and then I would switch to my Cyndaquil, because then Cyndaquil would Ember them, because that's their strongest power, and it's not like super strong against them, but it's also not weak. And I also wanted to stop them when I got to the final one, because Mudslap is also a ground move, and ground move is also good against both Ghastly, who's poison, and Cyndaquil, who's fire. This gym was well prepared to deal with a lot of problems.
Yep.
In Crystal, my Ghastly is named Shade, level 11. My Bellsprout is named Freedom, as in Let Freedom Ring, level 3.
My Bellsprout is a Bell. So I've got two Pokemon named Beauty, because Bell means beauty. Level 3.
Yeah, Bell with an E at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Crystal, my Bellsprout is named Bella, level 5.
How dare you name something I hate after somebody who is my best friend!
I'm just trying to warm you up to Bellsprout. My Pidgey is named Birdo, as in, like, the pink dinosaur thing from Mario Brothers. Level 10.
My Pidgey is named Pilot, level 2.
In Crystal, my Pidgey is named Pidget, level 5. As in, like, idiot. Like, what do you call an idiot?
Why'd you name your Pidgey idiot?
Pidgey, Pidget. Because it was really close to... It was funny. My Hoot Hoot is named Hootie, as in Hootie of the Blowfish, level 10.
My Hoot Hoot is named Cuckoo, level 10.
In Crystal, my Hoot Hoot is named TikTok, level 8. My Onyx, who I didn't get the name because it was from an in-game trade, is Rocky, level 10.
My Onyx is Rocky, level 10, and he came with an item, and unlike a daddy, I let him keep his item. So be.
In Crystal, my Onyx, just like the other ones, is named Rocky, level 10. And so, yeah, in Crystal, I also have a couple... Well, I also have a Spinarak, just like Ruby does in Gold. And I also found a Growlithe, which I think we can find in Gold and Silver in the same spot. I could be wrong, but we're gonna go look.
We're gonna... I get to decide if I'm gonna or not.
Well, I'll go look.
Hey, you have to wait for me.
See, I knew we'd go look. And that is all my Pokemon for now. So yeah, we do have Spinaraks that are named, but we haven't been using them or anything, so there's no point in covering their names and levels this time around. We'll cover them when we can do their Pokedex entries. Also, what I forgot to... We haven't quite caught up to where we are in the game. So after the gym, we left the gym and got a phone call from Professor Elm.
And I remember this a lot, guys.
Talking about how his assistant will meet us at the Poké Center in Violet Town, because he has something to give to us. And it was what?
An egg.
An egg.
I'm gonna go get some breakfast. I'm gonna go get some breakfast.
No! You're just like Jesse and James when Meowth was hatching an egg. Anyway, you don't want to be Team Rocket.
What if I'm hungry?
Fine. There's grass outside. Eat that.
Okay.
And this is really fun because, like, this is the game that introduces also breeding and hatching eggs and stuff like that, which I know about. Mm-hmm. A little bit. I know a little bit about.
A wee little baby.
I know one thing is that you can use a Ditto to mate with just about anything, so you can get whatever you need. So if you only have one of a Pokemon, Ditto will take care of it.
Ditto, the secret view.
Right. But what's really interesting to me about the egg specifically is, with my research, I'd found out that the Johto season of Pokemon anime actually started a little bit before the game actually came out, and we're not even there yet. We haven't watched those yet. We've watched through the first series and the Orange Islands, right? So the Indigo, and in the Indigo League, so in the first, even before the Orange Islands, they got Togepi. But they didn't know what it was first. They just got an egg, which looks a little very similar to the egg we have, right?
They also got a GS ball.
That's much later.
Oh, they still got it.
Sure, but we're talking about the egg. There's no GS ball in this game, but they got an egg just like we have in the game. That so was my cool. my yeah, it's cool, but it has nothing to do with my point.
Sorry, go with your point.
So they gave us this egg of this Pokemon that wasn't even in Red and Blue and Yellow, and the Gold and Silver aren't even out yet for people to play when this all happens in the anime, and then eventually hatches even before Gold and Silver ever comes out, and gives us Togepi, which is a Pokemon in Gold and Silver. And we already saw Ho-Oh much earlier on, right? In the anime, because he's in like the first episode or second episode where Ash is laying on the ground and sees it flying overhead.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also from Gold and Silver, so way before those games came out. So they were obviously designing the game and working on these new Pokemon that they were going to bring into this game way before they got, you know, that's so they were able to put it into the anime. And that includes the mechanic of, like, hatching eggs, probably. Like, we're going to do eggs, so we're going to put those in the anime now to show that you can hatch eggs. Which is really interesting that they're showing all this stuff. It's almost like a little teasers for the game to come out that isn't out yet.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool. Because they also introduce some more Pokemon later on, like with Meryl and stuff like that. But, so yeah, it's just really interesting. So I'm also excited to find out what this egg hatches into, because like I said, I don't know Gold and Silver that much. I don't know if it's a Togepi or not. It could be a Togepi, but I don't know.
If I get Togepi and you get something else, I'm going to be so happy.
Interesting.
Because you're going to make us trade.
Oh, sure. Anyway. So yeah, getting the egg is also very exciting, so we have that to explore, and I think our next episode we'll go back into the adventure stuff, so we'll dive into the Gold and Silver manga and the beginning of the anime and stuff, but as far as our adventure in the video game, I believe we'll be heading south to Azazel, or not Azazel, what is it? I don't know, sometime.
First we gotta go catch some unknowns.
Oh yeah, we have to go finish the unknown problem too, since Crystal figured that one out. Oh, and also, we have different opening screens, right, for our stuff. We get the little video, which is cool to watch. But then after that, when you have the title screen, what do you have in gold? What silhouette of a Pokemon? Who's that Pokemon that shows up on your screen?
Ho-Oh.
Yeah. And mine, I think, is Lugia. But then in Crystal, I believe it might be Suicune, which is one of the legendary dogs.
I know who Suicune is.
Yeah, you finally have one of those in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, we did a raid one day, like 5 of us, and we got a bunch of Suicune, and it was a Suicune, and everybody caught it except for me, and like, he was just being a very mean Suicune, because we kept getting great throws, because we both tried it, but thankfully, that was my dad's second Suicune, so.
Yeah.
I still got a Suicune at the end of the day.
Yes, you did.
At the end of the week, at some point in time, but.
Alright, and I think that's pretty much our episode this week.
Now it's time for some Pokemon cards. Alright, so I am going to be opening Scarlet and Violet Twilight Masquerade, which has, it looks like, Ursaluna on the front of it.
I'm opening Scarlet and Violet Temporal Forces with Raikou on the front.
And since I am the star of this podcast, I will be going first. All right, so starting off, I have Trevenant, grass type. Trevenant is very kind to Pokemon living in the forest. It doesn't even care if these Pokemon take up residence in the greenery on its head. It looks so menacing. Seems weird that it'd be so kind. I have Emolga, electric type. As Emolga flutters through the air, it crackles with electricity. This Pokemon is cute, but it can cause a lot of trouble. Just like some of my children. Cute, but cause a lot of trouble. Except for Ruby. She doesn't cause any trouble because she's ugly. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, I'm beautiful in this one. I'm going to start reading mine now. Thank you.
Oh, man.
No, you get cut off.
All right. So I have Frogadier. Water type evolves from Froakie. It can throw bubble-covered pebbles with precise control, hitting empty cans up to 100 feet away. Illumise, grass type. It guides Volbeat to draw signs in the night sky. There are scholars who research the meaning of these signs. Bug-catching set. Look at the top 7 cards of your deck. You may reveal up to 2 in any combination of grass Pokemon and basic grass energy cards you find there and put them into your hand. Shuffle the other cards back into your deck. Oh, that's kind of cool. So if you're doing a grass deck, that's kind of avant-garde.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to try it. All right. Aggron evolves from Leron, which evolves from Aeron. Aggron, steel type, sorry. Aggron has horns sharp enough to perforate thick iron sheets. It brings down its opponents by ramming into them horn first. Clefable evolves from Clefairy. Psychic type. It has an acute sense of hearing. It can easily hear a pin being dropped nearly 1,100 yards away. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse Holo is Girder, evolves from Timber. Fighting type. This Pokemon is so muscular and strongly built that even a group of wrestlers could not make it budge an inch.
Sounds like the Blob from X-Men.
Yeah, kind of. Ooh, I like this card a lot. All right, it's a secret rare. It's extended art. It's only a basic Pokemon, so it only has 60 HP, but the art is just beautiful. Like, its move is only 10 damage, too. Like, it's such a basic thing, but it's rare.
You have to get something cool the same time I get something cool.
Wattrel, electric type. I've warmed up a lot more to Wattrel, too, after, like, the Roy episode, so. These Pokemon make their nests on coastal cliffs. The nests have a strange crackling texture, and they're a popular delicacy. But yeah, they're just diving into the water to catch something. I don't know. There's a bunch of Wattrel there, but it just looks cool. The bubbling water, and it's like all kind of shiny-ish.
Maybe they're just hiding from something.
Yeah, maybe. I'll post pictures up on like the Facebook group and X and things. Oh, and then I got Iron Leaves, which we've seen on the front package of some of them. This is the green type Pokemon that almost looks like a deer in its future, and I think my box actually has it on it.
I think I almost grabbed that package.
According to the few eyewitness accounts that exist, it used its shining blades to julienne large trees and boulders.
Yeah, I almost grabbed that package.
Nice. And then I got a basic electric energy.
Cuckoo. My first Pokemon is Beldum. Metal type. From its rare, Beldum emits a magnetic force that rapidly pulls opponents in. They get skewered on Beldum's sharp claws.
Yikes.
Breloom evolves from Shroomish, grass type. The seeds on its tail are made of toxic spores. It knocks out foes with quick, virtually invisible punches. Roly-Coly, fighting type. On sunny days, Roly-Coly will come out onto grassy plains and roll around. Then it will eat the grass that gets tangled in its wheel-like leg. Heatmore, fire type.
Well, I just got one of those in Go, I think.
I don't like this one because it eats Durant, so I'm not even going to.
You don't like it?
Yeah, because it eats Durant.
I think it's hilarious. We got the fire Pokemon that's an anteater that eats the metal type ant Pokemon. I think it's hilarious. Perfect.
There's a hole in its tail that allows it to draw in the air it needs to keep its fire burning. If the hole gets blocked, this Pokemon will fall ill. Shiftry evolves from Nuzleaf, which evolves from Seedot.
Yes.
Grass type. A Pokemon that was feared as a forest guardian, it can read the foe's mind and take primitive action. Support a traitor card, Bianca's Devotion.
Preemptive action? Can take preemptive action?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heal all damage from one of your Pokemon that has 30 HP or less remaining. I don't even know how to start. Runicloss. Runicloss evolves from Dusogen.
Reunicloss.
Reunicloss.
Almost like reunion, but nucleus.
Reunicloss evolves from Dusogen.
Duosion.
Duosion. I don't even know. I know the first one, but Like, I don't.
Solosis.
I don't know. I didn't know its name. Psychic. While it could use its psychic abilities in battle, this Pokemon prefers to swing its powerful arms around to beat opponents into submission. My reverse holo is Vikavolt, evolves from Charabug.
Wait, Charjabug, which evolves from Grubbin.
And this is electric type. It builds up electricity in its abdomen, focuses it through its jaws, and then fires the electricity off in concentrated beams. Another reverse holo Heatmore, exact same.
Oh, it's the same Heatmore you got, but just reverse holo?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, don't feel like, whoa. Torterra EX evolves from Grottle.
Oh, Turtwig.
Grass type. It's a 2-star. It's not a secret rare, but it's a 2-star. And then it doesn't have its little thing that says, it just says when your Pokemon EX is knocked out.
Yeah, that happens.
But it's like all stuff. Like starry and shiny.
Ooh, that's cool.
And then I got a basic metal energy.
All right, and those are our Pokemon cards. So that's our episode. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on X at Hunterfield Inns. I'm on Instagram at Kinetic Card. There might be an underscore in there somewhere. I don't remember. And we have a Facebook group for Routes Through Pokemon. And you can reach us by email at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. So if you have any questions or comments or encouragements or anything, you can reach us in those areas. Yeah, that's that. And we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Part 14. R&R. Just outside of the Mount Moon Caves, there was a Pokemon Center, which is just what Violet needed. She and her three companions were weary, both physically and emotionally. Entering the building, she found several other trainers and travelers inside, and she quickly scanned the lobby for any sign of pink hair. There wasn't, and Violet couldn't tell if she was disappointed or not. For one, she wanted to give pink hair a piece of her mind, but on the other hand, she was just too tired. Stepping up to the counter, Violet placed down 3 Pokeballs. She was given a pickup ticket, and the 3 Pokeballs were carted off with her 3 Pokemon inside. Then she looked for a place to sit and maybe even take a nap, and found there weren't any empty seats. She let out a sigh and headed for a wall that she could sit against instead. But before she could get there, a balding man popped up in her path wearing a large grin. "Hello, miss! Have I got a deal for you?" He stopped suddenly and looked around cautiously, as if he thought someone might be watching him. And then he beckoned Violet to follow him over to the corner, which is basically where she had been trying to head in the first place. Once they were there, he leaned in real close and spoke just above a whisper. "I've got a real special Pokemon, and I'm willing to part with it for just 500. What do you say?" Violet's eyes widened and she was suddenly more alert. Blinking a few times, she shook her head.
500? I don't have that kind of money on me.
The sudden exclamation made the man jump and his smile faltered, but he quickly regained his composure. "Oh, of course. He brought his voice back down and made another attempt. "I see. You're probably just getting started on your journey. So, just for you, I could go as low as 350. "How can you pass that up? I'll tell you how. You can't! You'd have to have your brain taken out for you to lose out on such a deal!" The girl frowned.
"Look, I really don't..."
"All right, you drive a hard bargain. 200, final offer." The annoyance Violet felt was increased by her exhaustion. She ran a hand down her face as she wondered why this guy had targeted her. Then a hand came down on the man's shoulder and a calm but firm voice spoke. "Know when to let go, friend. It is clear the lady is not interested." The shorter salesman looked up at the man who wore a pleasant smile and a handsome face whose ice blue eyes met his brown ones. The salesman made to move his shoulder but found it locked firm in the newcomer's grip. Turning toward the front doors at the center, the newcomer gestured toward them and said, "Please, it is a beautiful day outside, and I am certain you will find the sunshine to brighten your mood. But I have this..." "Please, sir, I insist." The salesman winced a little and then nodded. "Oh, yeah, sure, All right. He collected a fishing pole and tackle box and then headed for the exit, taking one last glance at Violet and the man that had come to her rescue before he left.
Thank you, mister.
The stranger pulled his suit coat tight, ran his hands down the sides to smooth it out, and smiled a very charming smile. Don't mention it. Young Pokemon trainers have it hard enough when they're getting started that they don't need riffraff like him preying upon their inexperience or taking advantage of their exhaustion. Violet furrowed her brow.
And what makes you think I'm inexperienced?
She crossed her arms, a little annoyed that this man just assumed she was young and just starting out. Oh, I apologize profusely. The man's eyes went wide, surprised at the sudden change in demeanor. I hadn't meant any offense at all, miss. I had foolishly made an assumption simply based on the fact that you only turned in three Pokeballs.
What?
Both went silent for a moment and stared at one another, trying to process what the other had been saying.
A little girl,
I don't. They both chuckled a little as they continued to speak at the same time. I'm sorry, you should. They stopped once again before the man started to open his mouth. He seemed uncertain if he should, and then Violet also opened her mouth, stopping him short, and then she laughed when she had succeeded in faking him out. He smiled and let out another soft chuckle. You got me. As I was saying, normally, by the time a trainer has collected two badges, they have already caught themselves at least six Pokemon, so it would seem you are still on your way to badge number two. Violet was flattered. He had not thought she looked too young, but had reached a likely conclusion through observation that she had less than six Pokemon. On top of that, he had apparently thought she had some skill, as he believed her to have at least one badge. That was a point she thought she should correct.
Actually, I don't have any badges yet. I'm still headed to my first gym in Pewter City.
The man was astonished. You haven't even... But, did you get lost? How did you miss Pewter City, or... No, you couldn't have come through Mount Moon already. With no badges? A little redness creeped into Violet's face, and she looked down.
Well, actually, yeah, I did.
She trailed off as she had been about to clarify that she hadn't done it alone, but her father had been with her. Until now, she had been distracted by the pushy salesman and the gentleman rescuer. But the events of Mount Moon came back, and it stung. The man seemed to notice a change, and he scratched the back of his neck awkwardly. Hey, miss... Are you...
Trainer Violet, Trainer Violet.
A woman behind the counter was scanning the lobby, holding out a tray that contained three Pokeballs.
Trainer Violet, your Pokemon are ready. I'm sorry.
Violet said, on the verge of tears.
I have to go.
She ran over to the counter and collected her companions, and then rushed out of the Pokemon Center, not even noticing the gentleman reach out and try to hail her back. Hey, wait! Outside of the Pokemon Center, she nearly collided with someone and started to apologize.
Excuse me, I'm so...
But she trailed off when she found out who it was she ran into. A tall, beefy-looking guy in all black turned and grinned down at the girl. Right on the front of his outfit was the telltale letter that marked him as a member of Team Rocket, and it was a similar shirt to the one worn by his partner, who was coming in from Violet's right. And then, even more shocking, was that to her left... His R hidden a bit behind a vest was the pushy salesman.
Well, well, well. Look what we have here.
To be continued.